Welcome to another episode of Talking with Apples. Thanks for joining us on the video podcast that we're starting up to our old subscribers that are listening on audio only across all platforms. Thank you guys so much. We will be starting our podcast. We will be putting this podcast on YouTube and on Spotify, hopefully, but it will still be available on audio. So yeah, definitely follow and hopefully you enjoy this podcast. This is going to be a new format of podcasts with great guests. Awesome. See you in the episode. So welcome to another episode of Talking with Apples. This is probably a new episode from, I don't know, the last one was probably like a year ago. I don't even know, but I thought that like since we're going to be starting a video version of the Talking with Apples podcast, why not have the original first guest of the podcast on the actual podcast? So today I'm going to be speaking to Nick Rout. I'm sure a lot of people know Nick, but yeah, he is a principal engineer at GoDaddy. And yeah, today we're going to be talking about design systems. So yeah, welcome Nick. Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you, PJ. Yeah, it's actually really cool to be back. Just reminiscing on that first podcast we did in, I don't even know when that was, but all I know is that I was in a quarantine COVID hotel.
Yeah.
With pretty bad audio and, you know, circumstances could have been better, but to be honest, the podcast was really fun. Had a really good chat. Probably low-key got me through being in that two-week COVID hotel, to be honest.
I'm glad I could help.
But yeah, it's cool to be back and talking about, I guess, similar-ish things to last time.
Exactly.
I guess I'll let you intro what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, so we're going to pretty much be talking about design systems, what it is and pretty much why it's important, if it is important at all, and like how it pretty much fits into, I guess, mobile development for peeps. So I guess we can jump straight into it. And pretty much my first question is pretty much, you can maybe give us a definition of what a design system is, because I think for people that probably don't know what it is, this could probably be useful, and then we can pretty much jump into the rest of it.
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess like I would define a design system as like a, I don't know, like a collection of reusable things. So those could be anything from sort of raw values like colors to typography and textiles to full like interactive components like buttons or text fields or cards, etc. Organized in such a way that like clearly defines their roles and that there's clear standards in place. And the idea being is that they're like the Lego blocks in a way that can be assembled in any number of ways to build the screens of your application. So yeah, they're like the little bits and pieces that you need to make your brand specific app screen, etc.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I think that's an interesting, it's a good definition, a really interesting definition, because I think some people might ask the question of like, why wouldn't I just like then build a button for every single app? Like, so let's say we have an array of apps within our company. Like, why wouldn't I just like rebuild my specific button every single time? It might look different, or it might have some of the same different text and stuff like that. It's surely easy to just kind of like say button and then just recreate the button. So why do you think things like that are pretty much important? Like, what kind of makes it important to kind of like have these reusable components over pretty much like having something where it's like, hey, it's a button or a text field. Why do I need to recreate why can't I just recreate the same thing?
Yeah, that's also a good question. I mean, I think any like reasonably sized digital product, and we're not talking like sort of demo projects or necessarily even like hobby projects, but a production level app, once you get to that size where you've got loads of screens and various flows within the user experience, once you also start supporting multiple platforms, like perhaps users can use a web version of your app and then also the mobile app, and maybe they jump ship from Android to iOS or something like that. And then when you throw in the fact that maybe you have multiple apps within your company that need to sort of feel like they align to your brand and your company, in my opinion, it becomes pretty important to have consistency in how things look and feel. Because at the end of the day, it sort of puts the user in this world that they're saying, okay, I'm now using X product, and I'm not referring to Twitter, I'm referring to just any product.
Nice.
But rather that they are within the realm of your brand, and that sort of trickles down to the user experience, which then trickles down to like all the things that make up the user experience, which is effectively the design system.
Yeah.
So I think it's important from a user point of view to know that they're using your product and to build up sort of habits and awareness of like what certain things in your product mean. On the other hand, I think it becomes pretty important when you scale to have a single source of truth of reusable components that developers who are building features can actually use, such that they don't have to rebuild or reinvent the wheel, so to speak, for all the various components and other bits and pieces. But so that's, I mean, that's kind of like a time and cost saving measure. But also so that there is a sort of single pipeline from your design team, who is probably coming up with the design system in the first place, to your design system components implemented in code for your specific platform, which then is used by all the various apps or products or screens within those. I guess it just ultimately leads to consistency across the board. And while there is probably quite a bit of an upfront cost to building a design system and building it effectively, along the line, it ends up saving time and energy, I think, for developers, designers, product managers, most people involved in actually building the thing. So for me, that's the like key reasons there, that it is both on the user side, but also on the side of the folks actually building the product itself.
Yeah, I think I like that point where you said that, like, I think it is that upfront investment that like people have to pretty much do to create it. But I think like over time, it actually becomes a mechanism for, I guess, teams and let's say onboarding other developers quite fast into a team to actually be able to get started quite quickly in terms of like figuring out like what are certain components, what people are doing in terms of like typography. You don't have to be, have like your own figuring out like, oh, what is the typography of this? Cause it's already in the design system. Or like, yeah. Well, what kind of like fonts or what sizes for this I need to use and stuff like that, because it's all kind of like defined. And I think, yeah, I think it definitely helps in a, like you said, in an enterprise or in a big scalable company setting, you could have like 100 developers working on, you don't want them to all be like creating different buttons across the application if you have like different like types of pods and stuff. So it just creates that consistency. I think that's the word that you kind of mentioned there, which is quite cool. And yeah, I think you even mentioned on like different platforms. So like, how do you think like we should be dealing with like design systems on different platforms? Like, you mentioned like there's an Android and iOS side of things. There's potentially web. Like, I guess users on different platforms are looking at using certain components that they kind of like, that's kind of like native, or they just used to using, like, let's say iOS people love gestures, whereas maybe Android people are used to using a back button specifically to go back in terms of screens and stuff. And web people might use the back button specifically on a website. Like, how does stuff like that kind of like fit into this like design system situation?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, I'd say, one of the questions at the moment. And it's something that I think about a lot, to be honest. And I have opinions on it. I don't think they definitely aren't facts. And I'm still sort of like processing those opinions, I would say. But I guess the main thing here is that we've got a variety of like digital form factors in our lives at the moment. Like primarily we look at like a smartphone, but we've got tablets, we've got desktop and web experiences, we've got wearables, et cetera, et cetera. Now, on the other hand, we've also got, major players in the game of sort of like operating systems. And from that, sort of these user experiences that are specific to those operating systems, and I guess users of those things feel comfortable with, start to emerge. So that's where something like an iOS and an Android user experience and I guess general patterns tend to emerge and can be different. I think the major case for having a design system that suits these environments, so like it feels at home on iOS, it feels at home on Android, is important, and that it is, I guess, suitable also for the sort of input methods, like whether it's a touchscreen, whether it's a mouse and keyboard, whether it's a small screen, whether it's a big screen, is super important. Geez, I don't even know where I'm going with this, but there's a lot of thoughts here. And I think it is important because, like, effectively, like iOS over time has built up its own set of like components and just general patterns that feel natural to a user who's been using iOS for even a little bit of time, if not a long time. Same thing on Android.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of all of this, my mind sometimes tends to wander and be like, imagine having to like explain to, let's say, an alien race, like why you need to have a different type of button because you've got a phone that's branded by a different company. And I feel like eventually at some point along the line, these user experiences and these components and all the other things that make up design systems for, let's say, Android versus iOS or web and mobile are probably eventually going to converge.
Yeah.
I think we're so exposed to digital stuff all the time. Like we're using, I don't know, like an Android tablet in a kiosk, and then we go home and we use our iPhone, and then we put on our Garmin smartwatch, which has its own design system entirely, that although we get used to, let's say, one type of operating system and what it does, like we do, I think, inherently build up this like knowledge of how to interact with digital things. And from that, thus come sort of these general patterns that can apply to almost any design system and any platform. That being said, I think nowadays you need to strike a balance between feeling native to the platform that you're supporting. An example of this might be a radio button feels different on Android and iOS. And you're going to see that in settings. You're going to see that in most apps. So if you all of a sudden rock up with one that just feels like the Android one on iOS, it is going to be a bit odd. But at the same time, trying to reduce the amount of duplication and complexity that your designers and your team building the design system have to maintain. I think trying to also incorporate your own identity and brand into this is important too. So I guess as with pretty much every question ever, it always depends. But
yeah,
in my opinion nowadays, like I think you can have mostly a shared design system across platforms and across form factors, but where it makes sense to go and like deviate and say, okay, no, actually we should be doing something different for Android and iOS here, or we need to have a different like way to navigate back on our web experience because users don't have that like swipe to go back or back button on Android, that's when I think that needs to be strongly considered, because then you try and converge too much, you start to create this sort of like homogenous user experience that is like a you know, jack of all trades, but master of none.
Yeah. No, I think you said some awesome stuff there. And I think like two things that I also got out of there is I think like you also have to think about your design team, firstly, because there's a design team that actually has to go through actually creating these components, firstly, and also using these components on a daily basis to either create new screens or modify new screens in terms of if they're trying to like A/B test something or whatever. And they're saying, okay, cool, maybe we should try and use a different component here. Maybe it'll make the user actually use the specific thing a little bit better. So they have their own world around the design system. And then you also have the developer's world where they actually have to create those components and then, again, work on those screens specifically to actually utilize those components. That's quite a good thing that you said there. And then I think it also just comes down to, like you say, you mentioned user experience and behavior. iOS apps are specifically probably going to have a lot of like native behavior and stuff like that. And Android's going to have a bunch of native behavior, but like sometimes when you are building a massive product, you kind of need to figure out how you can kind of converge those behaviors into one that will kind of like make it easier for the developers to do. One might be easier than the other one. One might just have it like natively in and then the other one has to build it custom. Sometimes you have to go with each one does their own native implementation and you see how that kind of works, or both have to do a custom implementation because they feel that like this is now something that's like represents a specific way of doing it. So I guess there's a lot of different things that like potentially you might need to do. And I think obviously with designing all of those things, it can create a lot of complexity. But it can also create simplicity when it's pretty much done and shareable between a bunch of things.
I mean, you brought up a good point there as well, is that like, well, a couple of things. The first one is that like, I mean, you, when we talk about what like native design, apparently that's maybe not the best word to use, so apologies if I'm doing that. But anyway, if we talk about that, that's sort of derived from the guidelines that you will get from the Google in the form of the material design guidelines, or Apple in the form of the human interface guidelines. I mean, the web kind of has some has a lot of stuff, but I mean it is the Wild West in some ways, and then there's others for desktop and such, but I think like one of the complexities that comes out of this is trying to take those base guidelines and have your app feel like they fit in, but are still different enough to like, you know, align with your brand and differentiate yourself from other products so that they don't all feel the same. And then like balance this like tricky balancing act of, like, do you then deviate for certain platforms? Do you deviate entirely based on something that just you think is better than what Material and the HIG are saying? Those sorts of things are challenging. And in particular are challenging, I think, for developers. Because, I mean, it's one thing to, you know, in Figma, like, you know, create a custom switch, let's say, that's based off of the Material Design one, but it has like a different shape, let's say. But if the actual library that a developer may want to use as, let's say, the Compose Material library on Android, like its API doesn't support the customization that the designer has decided to come up with, that's when I find that there's like this disconnect between design thinks anything is possible, because I guess anything is possible with pixels. But then you're faced with, as a developer, like implementing this, and sometimes that's easy, but sometimes that can be really hard. Sometimes it needs to be custom. Sometimes it's a fork of the thing that Google makes or Apple makes. So I think that's when things get a bit interesting.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. I definitely agree with that. And I actually wanted to dive into the one point that you mentioned there is kind of like the whole situation with like, should we be following like material design? Because I think we both know that Compose, which is like a UI framework for people that don't know on Android that Google's made recently. And they kind of like have built this framework with kind of like material in mind, the material design system. And you can obviously do everything custom. There's the ability to pretty much create everything from scratch. But like to make it obviously easier, material design is there to pretty much help you. And it's a design system that they've created. Apple has obviously done human interface guidelines. And those are also very like bare bones things, but like, they obviously have like some behaviors and stuff like that. But like you said, you can always go custom. Like you said, it's just pixels at the end of the day. So you can go from the raw bare bones and just do whatever you want to. Or you can follow material design guidelines. So, and then there's libraries for it, right? Google has already made libraries with all these components. So if you want a bottom sheet that already just works, instead of creating a custom view that does all this behavior, you can just go bottom sheet, right? Versus if you have a situation where you want to, create a button, or you want to do some kind of like random flow row or something like that that does like some crazy stuff, like they already have it for you. So why reinvent the wheel? Sometimes we'll build on top of that, or sometimes people just use it straight. So like if someone had to come to you today and just say, I'm building an app, should I just use exactly what Google has for me, or should I try and like make it custom, should I create my own custom design system? Well, what would you recommend, like, if you had a startup, I don't know, you had your own startup and you just kind of did it, like, well, what do you recommend?
That's another one of these questions, but honestly, like, I mean, truth be told, if you are a startup and you're looking to sort of like build something quite quickly and I guess test out some kind of an MVP, in my opinion, it does make a bit more sense to go ahead and use some of the stock design system components and libraries that go with these, because to be honest, that's just going to save you a lot of time. I think you'll end up with a decent looking app, one that sort of feels maybe like stock Android or stock iOS, to be fair, but one that is at least at a good enough baseline such that users of it will understand it. You won't have to write and maintain a whole lot of code just to get off the ground. But as that changes and as you head towards maybe post startup MVP world and you want to create a brand identity and your digital product for you, like that's where I think veering away from the stock look and feel is actually very important. I think some of the best user experiences I've had tend to be those that still feel suited to the platform, but are interesting, delightful, or just like feel creative in the way that they've applied like the basics of a material design or a human interface guidelines and done it in such a way that feels like it's unique, I guess. And so I guess like it is a bit of a sliding scale. It is somewhere where, like, I mean, if I had to choose, unfortunately, I'm a bit biased that like I like setting up and maintaining a design system in my code base, and I like the feeling of, you know, doing that first and then seeing the speed at which you can use that to build the screens and flows in your apps. But honestly, that isn't everyone, and it's perfectly fine to like just use, let's say, Google Material libraries or stock Swift UI components to build your app. But I think as you then enter the bigger world and people start noticing and you get a lot of users and stuff, if your app is looking a little bit, for lack of a better word, basic, I think you might catch some flack for that. In which case, you almost have to start deviating a little bit, going the routes of like having a design system. Yes, potentially built on top of Google Material or Apple's components, but certainly with like your own little bit of spice thrown in there.
I mean, I think it also comes down to if you're going to be building a design system, you're also going to need to maintain this design system, right? Like at the end of the day, like it's not all for free where you just like you build it once and then it just works forever for you. At the end of the day, like components might kind of like not work in certain situations. And I'm kind of like thinking about like, as we both know that like Google's also now looking into like the tablet space, right? Like we have foldables coming out. We have like tablets and stuff, and like Android developers, as we know, like aren't really like tablet building people, just like cool portrait lock forever and like let's just build apps that way, right? But like now with kind of like I think the foldables of the world kind of coming out, people are looking at like using these types of devices. Maybe more Android tablets are coming out and people are looking for more apps. So on the iOS side, I would say like, you know, Apple has always kind of like made their frameworks and stuff a little bit easier to work with the iPad. Whereas like, yeah, I think it's been a bit of a struggle to kind of build like Android apps also for tablet and stuff. But now with Compose and also Google obviously investing in some of this hardware and stuff, like they're making it a little bit easier. But then that also kind of like affects your design system at the end of the day, because like, will your components work as well as potentially a material design system where they're actually maintaining it? So I don't know, like in terms of like large screen devices and maintainability, like what is your thoughts? Because you also said that like, yeah, you like kind of like having your own design system. So what are your thoughts on that? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think maintenance, geez, I mean, that's just like, that's probably the key thing in a lot of this here. And I guess if you think about it, like the actual platforms that you're looking to support with your apps themselves, like these operating systems, I guess, have changed a lot over time. Like perhaps you might have set up a design system when Android Cupcake came out, and if you just left it as is until now, your app would be looking, yeah, I don't know, retro might be a polite way to put it. But so obviously, I guess you need to adapt, no pun intended, large screens, but adapt and like evolve and change your design system accordingly, you know, like what's happening with the times, what's happening with the guidelines that come with these platforms, including things like supporting tablets and foldable devices in various screen sizes. But actually like doing that maintenance when it comes to the designers and the developers involved is a tricky thing. I don't think it's exclusive to design systems. I think, you know, maintaining any reasonably sized code base to like keep up with the times is like programming languages and architecture patterns and libraries and all that jazz like is tough. But in my opinion, like having a design system actually makes maintaining the at least visual identity of your app or products easier in the long term. The reason why I think this is because I almost see it as like a dependency chain that you create where let's say your app and its various screens that it's comprised of is dependent on the sort of code implementation of your design system. Like ideally all those screens should be using a combination of components from your design system, and that's all it should ideally know about. And then that design system code implementation library is dependent on, let's say, a Figma file, which designers maintain. And that's all that it should know about. But then the design system that designers are maintaining in Figma needs to know about, okay, like, what is the latest material guidelines? What is the latest HIG guidelines? Like, what's actually happening in the space of foldables and tablets, etc.? Like, what should we put in our design system? What shouldn't we? I guess if you don't have this sort of like pipeline in place, things can get rather messy, in my opinion. And that's where sort of like, I think tech debt can build up dramatically over time if you don't have sort of these, not strict, but like dependent sort of chains in place that, in my opinion, make just like building digital stuff a little bit more sane, especially as you do that over time, especially as you like grow in size and teams of people and screens and apps and all those sorts of things. So it is tough, but it is doable. I actually have a video, which I guess we can include in the description notes afterwards. It's actually on Figma's YouTube channel, which was a video on a company called DoorDash's design system. And they, it's like a cross, you know, functional team of people that give this presentation, but they describe how they actually do and like maintain this, because it's obviously not just a once off fire and forget thing. It's something that you constantly need to keep up to date. You constantly need to check that like people are using it correctly, like in the apps. You need to adapt all the things that I mentioned before. So it's actually a very interesting watch, and one that kind of shows that like just by, with some like good tooling, some like good processes in place, like good documentation, all those sorts of things, like it is possible to do that even in a pretty big team. Yeah, so yeah, I'll drop a link to that if folks want to watch it.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think there's also some good substance there. I think like good documentation definitely is super helpful. I think you said like processes. So I guess like the process between yourself and your designer specifically, like your design team and how you kind of like work with them. And then I think you mentioned also tooling, which is really important. Yeah. I think like, and I've worked in a place where, we've actually used like lint rules. So where someone pretty much decided to just go and say, oh, button. And then we actually had a lint rule that said, hey, you should actually use, this kind of button, the company design system, yeah, button, instead of just using a generic button. And I think that even those type of like small linting rules helps teams, especially newcomers to either the design system or to the product specifically, to actually use. Yeah. So I think those are the small things that you mentioned there that I think really do make a design system successful. I would say if you don't have those things, it might be a little bit difficult to kind of like keep it running. But I definitely think, like you said, it's very beneficial. A lot of big companies, you mentioned DoorDash, have a design system. Then there's so many other companies that are creating design systems just to pretty much like help them build stuff.
Fully. Do agree. Like, you kind of need that stuff in place. Otherwise, the sort of benefit, I think, starts to reduce over time. Like, you've put in all this upfront cost to create a design system. Initially, you see perhaps a benefit in terms of like, okay, cool, we can build new features quickly. We can cut out a lot of custom code from, let's say, our feature modules and our app. But then it doesn't maintain properly. Like, it's actually going to end up doing the opposite and being a bit of a burden, I think, on everyone. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think like, I even want to just kind of go back to something that we spoke about early on, which was kind of like the whole Android and iOS thing, but like also potentially like cross-platform. Do you feel like sometimes design systems potentially benefit cross-platform technologies a little bit more? Because potentially maybe you don't want to, you pretty much maybe like Flutter, React Native, Kotlin, multi-platform, maybe design systems could be also like a lot more beneficial in those settings, just because you pretty much creating it once, and hopefully the platform helps you to pretty much like create the right component. Let's say, like you said, radio button versus switches. That would probably be the thing that would probably you'd see very differently, but like you could probably style it very similar with certain. I mean, I don't know how some of these technologies work, but I'm guessing you just say, I don't know, switch, and then it will pretty much create the switch, and then Android equivalent specifically, and then you just style it a certain way. Do you think it would actually benefit and make it easier when you're using cross-platform versus, like normal native development?
Yeah. Another very good question. And honestly, it's like a pretty interesting time for this. I mentioned before that like you've got this sort of sweet spot that you maybe want to try and hit between like, okay, well, we've got a brand, we want to feel a bit different to not just feel like every other app. And then we've also want to still feel like we are native to the platforms that we support. Like we keep using Android and iOS. That's the pretty standard one. But I mean, but that sort of like tends to get a bit murky when we consider these cross-platform frameworks that are ideally like one code base and sort of one sort of user experience, regardless of the platform that it's running on. And obviously, ideally, it should adapt to screen size and form factor and sort of perhaps even input methods like keyboard and touchscreen. But it's where the sort of Android and iOS and like feeling native to the platform starts to get a bit interesting. I'm going to use the recently went to alpha Compose multi-platform as an example. And actually, in the blog post announcement for that alpha, one of the like paragraphs in here was, I actually have it on me here, so I'll read it, was, of course, a key question for a cross-platform UI framework is to which degree elements should mimic the look and feel of its target platforms. At the current stage, the JetBrains team has not yet made any decisions about providing native or common-looking UI elements. Since this is a key part of the Compose multi-platform user experience, we don't want to make decisions on this without first gathering feedback from the development community. And then they ask for a way to like share feedback about this, which for me indicates that it's quite like a nation sort of area and somewhere where I think honestly needs a bit of thought and a bit of consideration from the likes of, Google, I guess, and JetBrains. Because at the end of the day, if you like currently make a Compose multi-platform app and just go with the standard Compose material library, you're effectively having a material design app on iOS. And look, there's already quite a few of those, if we're being honest, like with other cross-platform frameworks, such as like an Ionic or React Native, if you happen to just go with a material theme. I believe Flutter does have options for material, or I think Cupertino is the Apple style theme. And I've even seen some interesting third-party projects that are trying to do this sort of thing. Again, I'll just like send you some links afterwards. We can put it in the notes. But it's kind of an interesting project which I noticed, which is called Compose Look and Feel, which is also attempting to try and like have a single design system theme situation where, and a single set of components, but then they either look like the Android native one or look like the iOS native one, depending on the platform that this Compose is running on. And seems like a lot of work, because I guess in the Android case, they just, you know, default to the Compose material library. But in the iOS case, they literally seem to be building effectively like Apple style components in Compose from scratch, which is a lot, but maybe it is a good thing. But honestly, I don't know the answer to this fully. I'd say if the decision comes out that like there could be a design system that just suits both Android and iOS in the future, and like we don't necessarily have to have this fork all the time. And I suppose if that is the case, and we're all sort of, that's the consensus and we're all cool with that, it will make it easier to build and probably use a design system, because we won't really have to think about So these occasional deviations. But for now, I think it's a pretty like early stage area of thinking here. And I think this like the sort of proliferation of multi-platform stuff like and frameworks is going to force us to consider that going forward, to be honest. That's interesting. I'm interested to see where it goes. Time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's what I was also thinking. I was like, I honestly think that with multi-platform or any of these cross-platform technologies, I think that this is where design systems are actually the most, probably the most interesting to use or pretty much needed. Because at the end of the day, you kind of potentially just want to have like very similar components. You probably don't want to be deviating too much in terms of like, oh, let's make a component specifically for Android and let's make a component specifically for iOS. If we just have one component, we build it once in our, Flutter or React Native or whatever, or something like that, however you build it, then it just makes it easier for you to just have those custom ways of doing things, and then it's your branded way of doing things. And I think probably a design system is more fitting, I would say, for those types of like projects, I would say, in my opinion. But like, they obviously do work well when you obviously have like native projects also, in terms of Android and iOS. Specifically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's definitely something to watch and see kind of like how people approach this, this problem, specifically, because yeah. I think like these cross-platform technologies are obviously becoming quite, they're becoming quite stronger and stronger, and a lot of people are looking to pretty much utilize them to build their applications in the future. But yeah.
Totally, totally. It is something, it's going to be really interesting, I think, because, yeah, I think as the appeal of cross-platform frameworks sort of start to rise, like that will naturally just start into the conversation.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I think it's been, we've spoken about a lot of stuff. It's been super interesting. And again, thanks again for, this is like season two, pretty much episode one. so I guess season one, episode one, season two, episode one, we got you, and hopefully maybe the next time we'll actually just do it live. Season three, us sitting in the same room. I think it'll be pretty awesome. Thanks so much thanks so much for pulling in. This has been an awesome conversation. I don't know if you have any last thoughts, where people can find you, I guess, in the world of today's socials, on X probably.
Yeah. Still kind of weird to be saying that, but I guess last thoughts is that like one thing that I'll say is that like design systems and I guess design stuff for developers tends to almost be this like slightly avoided, slightly foreign feeling area. And one that we sort of just say, okay, well, there's just that guy who knows about like themes and styles and stuff and we'll do that. Or like maybe I am generalizing here for sure. Like there's a lot of folks who are like can dabble in both the design and dev things, but I think it's pretty important because for many reasons that we've discussed in this like podcast, like all the things that are upcoming in the world of mobile and general development, but also because like I think a design system forces you to think about design things in a similar way to how you organize code, modularization, libraries, architecture, stuff like that. It all kind of ties into that, and it's almost just the top level of that I think a design system can and should be and can really improve your developer experience, because a lot of the time it's wrestling with things design give you to try and make it work with the code and various dependencies you have at your disposal. So actually I find that once you sort of come to terms with what a design system is and start using one in your code base, it actually ends up making your general developer experience better. Obviously, with the caveat being that you got to maintain that thing.
Yeah.
But that's probably my last thoughts. And then, yeah, you can find me on Twitter/X. I'm also on Mastodon, LinkedIn, and generally speaking, the internet. So, yeah, my handle tends to be spoonerism of my actual name, which is Rick Knout. So please don't call me Rick in life, even though people probably still will. Yeah, reach out. Happy to always chat about Android things, design systems things, general dev things. Yeah, the community is cool. So
yeah, man.
Let's talk.
Awesome. Yeah, man. Thank you so much for pulling in again. This has been awesome. Hopefully we see each other soon. We live in the same country, but not in the same city. So hopefully we make a plan to see each other sometime soon at some event. But yeah, dude, it was awesome again. And thanks. I guess we'll catch everybody else on the next one. Follow Nick on all socials, especially X. Cheers.
And PJ.
And me. Peace.
Cheers.